Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today's podcast is sponsored by LaughPass. So Stand Up New York's an incredible comedy club. It's one of my home clubs. They've just been there for me from the start, and they just have incredible comics come through. LaughPass is normally $159 annually, but discounted to $139 with the podcast coupon code INVASION. And with LaughPass membership, you'll receive access to unlimited stand-up New York comedy shows, but you have to reserve spots in advance, everyone. So you'll have access to them, but you still have to call up or go online and reserve things. You are also going to get VIP seating at each show, a free ticket for a friend to each show, which is pretty cool, especially if you have friends, which I'm sure you guys do, a free drink upon arrival at each show. Very cool. A free drink at arrival. That's pretty awesome. A bottle of wine on your birthday week. Hey, but it's to drink during the show. You cannot leave the premises with it. So it's only your bottle of wine is only at the show. And you also will get direct alerts when big name comics and celebrities drop in. And they drop in all the time last minute. So you will be alerted. And hopefully one day I'll be one of the big names that you get alerted to. How cool would that be? So please check it out and get LaughPass once again with coupon INVASION. So yeah. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening and tuning back in. I know I have some new listeners, which is pretty incredible. I've been getting some feedback. I got some emails. I got some new listeners about the whole teacher thing I was going through with my son. And some people wrote in that they were really relating, because I think, you know, when you have a child or children in the public school system, you want to speak up, but it's really interesting how hard it is to. We get intimidated and all these things. And this is a democracy, you know, and it's not to overthrow anyone in the system. But we all need to start speaking our minds. And a lot of people and friends of mine, they get upset about things going on in the school, and they feel powerless to affecting change. And I think we need to speak up, contact your children's principals, teachers, guidance department. Like, and obviously depends on what the issue is. Like if your kid's getting bullied, you know, bullying is still so prevalent as adults, but very much as children. And we have to speak up, and we all have to remember how sensitive we all are and how much suffering a lot of us do without speaking up. And for me, I really will always be connected to and love children. I taught them for 8 to 9 years. And before that I was a camp counselor starting at 16. And, they really go through what we as adults go through, but a lot of times they feel powerless. So as parents, we want to speak up for them, and even not as parents, just speaking up in general. So thank you for everyone listening, new listeners, people who've been with me from the start. I really appreciate it. I'd also like to make a really special announcement. I have a niece. My brother and sister-in-law had a baby girl. She's my first niece. I do have a nephew, Asa, who I love. But I have a niece. Her name's, I did ask permission, by the way, to share her name. Her name is Zipporah, which is so freaking beautiful. It's the name of Moses's wife, but both names, Zipporah and Asa, came through to my brother in dreams, which is pretty badass. And they're very, like ancient Jewish names, actually. And we were raised Jewish, but we're not like turbo Jews or anything. And I'm not trying to be insensitive with that term. I call my mom a turbo Jew. She doesn't like it, but I mean, like, you know, I don't regularly go to synagogue. I was bat mitzvahed, but still, it's just fascinating that these very, you know, Jewish traditional names came through to my brother, and I love both names. And I love my new niece, Zipporah, and my nephew, Asa. So shout outs to them. Not that they listen. I mean, she's literally like just born, so she's definitely not a listener yet. But my sister-in-law, Katie, she called me and I got to hear Zipporah making like the little baby coo noises. It was so cute. And I've had one of the roughest weeks in my life. So hearing Zipporah's little coos, like I was like, okay. Life is good. Life is sweet. Life is kind. Even with the dark times that come. So, Hi, Zipporah. Okay. And Asa and all my family, actually. I don't know how many of my family members listen, but I think a decent amount do. And I'm sure that it must be interesting because not everyone tells me. And I definitely share a lot about my life while trying very hard to respect boundaries. I'm not saying I always nail it, that's for sure. But I had a really, really tough week. I don't know how much I want to get into it yet because I have lots of stuff written down. But I did have one of the toughest weeks I've ever experienced. Thank God I have a very brilliant healer and therapist who got me through, and I'm surrounded by people in this world. Like, I've met a lot of people in a society of souls that have, you know, given me support to get through these things, but it was really dark for me. And I don't know what else I want to say about it other than that you can always come through. Because when I was in the spot, a lot of suicidal thoughts were running. I know I wasn't going to do it. I knew I wasn't going to do it. I've been in similar places in my life. I don't think I felt this way, though, since my divorce. And I was shocked by how, you know, I was in a very rough place. But, you know, I just really took care of myself as best I could. I couldn't really eat at all for a day or two, but that's not new to me. I literally get insures and I stay alive. If I can't move, I don't move. And I let the people know who need to know. And I moved through it. But, you know, a lot of us who are very sensitive and trying to do this deep healing work and learn about ourselves, deep wounds and traumas come up, often linked to childhood or other traumas that have happened. And it was very rough, but you know, there are other people feeling these things. And you know, I talk about Pete and Ariana a lot, and he put out a thing on Instagram. I'm not going to say the whole thing, but there was a mention of, I don't even want to be on this earth anymore. And so many of us can relate to that, and I thought it was so brave and vulnerable for him to put that out there. And once again, I personally could relate to that feeling. I don't get suicidal in that way. I'm not saying he was. It's not my place to feel into, you know, what that message on the deepest level was. But I think it was just so brave for him to say what a lot of us feel and feel scared to say. But yeah, I know he's going to come through, and I know all of us are. And I normally don't name my podcasts till they're done, but the name that's been coming through the whole week is Phoenix Rising, because, you know, once again, it's about falling and getting, you know, we're human. So we fuck up, we do things we're not proud of. And for me, I felt worthless. I felt zero, like it was a low place. And, you know, because I do all this work with consciousness, I looked at the thoughts that felt worthless, like a loser, not worthy of being alive. And I just looked at them with as much love and compassion as I could. And also just as an observer as well, like, wow. But I was also feeling it, you know? So I'm naming it Phoenix Rising because we can come through those places. You know, there are also suicide hotlines out there that are remarkable, you know, so, and they're free. So those of you who get in those spots and you just need someone to talk to, you can call a suicide hotline. You're not alone. Obviously I offer healings, and there are therapists, and, you know, we just want to have support systems because so many of us are struggling and don't know how to get through it. And I'm telling you, we all are. Like, any single person, even if you don't like me, every single person out there if willing to get support and express, and you know, there are networks of people out there and that are feeling similar ways, and we just want to come through and we just want to live a happy, peaceful life. And part of what I went through was having to look at my own really dark, ugly places and saying, okay, Kate, like, you need to look at these, like, you know, no more blame, no more whatever. Excuse me, I like burped. But it's just kind of like, go in, look, and decide what shifts need to happen so you can navigate life in a way where you're just filled with more life and more peace, you know, and more self-love to yourself and then to others. And I'm happy I came through it. I'm still kind of dipping in and out. I'm not definitely all the way out. Like, there's a lot of crying, but that's okay. We are meant to cry. We are these, you know, avatars or vessels, and part of the cleansing system for real is allowing yourself to cry. And when we don't, we like clog up the whole thing. You know, we're running systems, we're fluid. So, you know, crying doesn't freak me out as much anymore. And I've been listening to, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this song. It's Mark Ronson featuring Miley Cyrus, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart. Ooh, I've been running that over and over, just sobbing. But so many of us can relate to the lyrics. It's about really, it's kind of like the scars we feel, especially us really sensitive artist types. And when I say artist, I don't mean like just a visual artist or something. It's just those of us who see the world in these lenses that are so unique and odd and quirky, and you know what I mean? And a lot of us that have been misunderstood and things like that, you know? So anyway, Phoenix Rising, we're going to come through this, all of us. We just have to get the support. And I could not have gotten through this last week without certain people and support systems in place. But ultimately it was the self-love and self-forgiveness, because when you fuck up, and I kind of talked about this last week, I was talking about how if your shame body isn't big enough in a sense to hold the shame, you kind of collapse. And there was a self made moment, in a sense, you know, this is just because I'm not blaming anyone else. There was something that happened that, ooh, the shame. It was, I didn't even realize how much shame I had. And it's linked, I have some more repressed memories coming up, which are always fun / not fun. And I just am allowing them up. I'm sitting with it. You know, I won't go too much more into my process because I'm still in it. But I will also say, in terms of memories relating to childhood and parents who may or may not have abused a bit, whether it's emotionally, physically, whatever, I just, and my incredible therapist said this to me a couple times, where she's like, it's never the children's fault. And I didn't realize, because that's an obvious statement, and yet I didn't realize how much shame and self-hate there still was in my body, thinking it was my fault, the things I suffered, because I was manipulated a lot as a child. And it's not, once again, to even blame them. They were going through their own things. But I suffered a lot of abuse and then was told I had brought it on myself. So at least, you know, this past week, as I went through that place and loved myself, I was able to get to this, to more memory surfacing, but with the memories, as I cry and collapse, I say, no, this wasn't your fault. I can grieve this. I was a child, you know, and I'm not going to go into details. I semi have, you know, over the podcast, but because this is, once again, my podcast isn't about hurting anyone. I know some of my statements will somehow, but that's not what it's about. It's, so many of us are locked into these old systems and want to heal. And we don't get to do it by just being PC and living for everyone else. And when I say PC, once again, I'm not saying go after people. I mean, you can. It depends on the level of abuse. Like, Dr. Ford, to me, wasn't going after Kavanaugh. You know, she was fighting for justice. So, like, always fight for justice. But for me, when it comes to healing childhood traumatic things, I'm not trying to ruin anyone's lives. You know, the people who raised me, because it's more than just my parents, everyone was suffering and everyone in many, you know, was operating from a lot of blind spots. However, I right now get to claim them for me and my truth. And I will say it's never the child's fault, you know, and I unfortunately was met a lot with that. Because I've always been very strong, opinionated, alive, I think it was very easy to make it like I was, I don't know, manipulative or something needy. And it's like, yeah, kids are needy and kids are manipulative. Like, it's on the parents to set the boundaries and, you know, like, and to not abuse. And I'm not saying I've been a perfect parent. Okay. But I actively go to my own therapist. I have Shane. I don't want to go too much into his stuff, but like, I'm trying to take care of all of that, you know, and I'm not a perfect parent, but I really try my best to apologize and take responsibility and to listen to Shane, who I would like to have on the podcast soon if he wants. But I really try my best to listen to Shane when I'm being a bitch. And trust me, I can be a bitch, in case anyone was wondering, you know, but I'm trying my best to claim my inner bitch and not act out on it. Definitely didn't kill that this past month, but I'm working on it. And I know a lot of us, we feel awful when we stumble, especially those of us who are striving to be on this healing path. When we see this ugly place, we're like, oh my God, how can I call myself a healer? Or whatever you do, you might be a therapist, a teacher. Like, we all have these titles that make us feel awful when we see parts of ourselves that we don't think fit into that thing. But we are who we are. And that's not an excuse for things, but it does include you allowing yourself to forgive yourself when you see your parts that you don't like, even if they happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's never too late to heal. Even if you're in jail, to be honest, there's always time for forgiveness and self-compassion. Okay. So there's this parrot, Rocco. I posted an article about this on my personal Facebook page. I freaking love this parrot. He got kicked out of like a bird sanctuary because he was cursing too much, which already makes me love this parrot so much. That's hysterical. And now one of the workers in the sanctuary took Rocco home, but Rocco talks to Alexa all day, her Alexa, and they had to childproof it because the parrot was ordering things off Alexa, which I think is so funny. It was like watermelon, ice cream. I forget. There was a great list. And the parrot, it's like, it's the parrot listens to Kings of Leon. I might be saying that wrong, but like, I love that this parrot's like rocking it out. I hope I get to meet Rocco one day, actually. I just love, yeah, I love that Rocco got kicked out for cursing. But I'll tell you what, Rocco was probably in a cage and was probably pissed off, you know? So I'm all for Rocco cursing. And I love that Rocco is trying to order stuff off of Alexa. And I hope Rocco's owner lets Rocco order some things. I'm sure, like the watermelon. I don't know if parrots are allowed to eat ice cream, but that's just amazing. Oh, wait, no, Rocco is also trying to order light bulbs. I was like, what is Rocco the parrot trying to do with, not just light bulbs, but a kite? Shane and I were laughing over this because I showed him the article. I was like, oh my God, Rocco ordered a kite? That is the cutest fucking thing I've ever heard. I want to hang with Rocco while Rocco flies a kite and we both curse back and forth. Rocco can curse at me if Rocco wants. I just would love to meet Rocco. That's for real one of my wishes now. Okay, we've got the fucking Paris riots. I believe they're done now. I'm sure there's still tricklings because people are pissed off, but it's a very interesting in the middle controversy, I think, because what happened was to fight climate change, Paris government officials, they skyrocketed the tax on fuel. And then people like truck drivers whose livelihood depends on lower gas prices, they rioted because it was like, oh, fuck you, rich. Easy for you to raise it. Doesn't affect your lives. Like, what about us? And I really see all sides in this because I am 100% for fighting climate change. I want renewable green energy. And I believe that we are completely capable of having that. The Thrive Movement documentary really goes into this for anyone interested, because people who have come up with free energy resources in the past. Their labs were burned. They were killed. Like, we have this information, but so many gas companies and electric companies, they were freaking because there's a lot of money invested. I'm about green renewable energy, but it has to be a smooth transition if we're going to do it. It can't, you know, we can't fuck with people's livelihoods like that. Like, the people who are rioting are people who are, I think it's blue collar. I'm really bad at like titles, but it's like working class. Like, don't fuck with those people. Like, are you kidding? So seriously though, like, they're the homies. They're the people fucking rocking this out and making all this happen. Like, I'm sure they're for protecting the environment, but you can't screw them over. So, you know, and someone posted, they thought like the liberals were going to get mad. And I'm like, no, I get it. Like, I get why people are rioting. And I'm really for, you know, fighting for the planet Earth and for having these renewable energy sources, but we need to do it, you know, gradually and kindly. And, you know, so I completely understand. And I hope that they get it together soon. Also, I hope in terms of getting it together that weed's legal in New Jersey soon. They're still going back and forth over taxes. 12%, motherfuckers, no more than that. Give me a fucking break. It's a plant medicine. You either like it or you don't. Okay. If you're not about it, step away, but don't tax it. Like, give me a fucking 12% is already a lot. So keep fighting for the 12%, because that's some bullshit. That's some dude being like, if we're going to have marijuana, it needs to be 25%. Like, you're a geek and you need to beat it. Get out of here. What's he going to come and find me? I'm not a geek. I would love that. I don't even know the dude's name fighting for it, but please, you can give a knock on my door and say that you're not a geek and we can have a good conversation and you can learn not to overtax for marijuana. So come visit me. We can talk. I just wanted to talk about Gaia, the spirit of the earth. I've definitely talked about this before, and I have Gaia tattooed on my arm. But Gaia is the spirit of Earth. Earth has a spirit and she's here. Her presence is within all of us and she wants to be seen. She wants to be heard. And she would love renewable, green, clean energy, but not, you know, once again, in a gradual way. And she wants change. She's helping to bring in the new Earth, but she's the mother of all of her children that live on this planet, humans, animals, plants. She, you know, she hears everyone's cries. That's why non-duality is so important. She loves all of her children. So she's trying to make all of this happen. And she, you know, we have to really take in every single person's opinion as best we can, but still going with our own guts and instincts. But yeah, the spirit of Earth, man, she's here. She's looking out. So I can feel her so deep in my system. And I know a lot of my friends on this path can. So at the last all school meeting for a Society of Souls, I'm only going to say a little bit, but we had this beautiful ceremony really honoring the spirit of Earth. It's like, you know, we really want to honor this planet. We live on this beautiful, beautiful planet. And we got to really start cleaning this up. So on one hand, I understand the Paris government officials. Yes, we got to clean this up, but we have to do it in a way that really respects and takes into consideration everyone's livelihood. So, okay. So first of all, we're heading to the holidays, everyone. And that can be a really rough time. No, you're not alone. I don't even know if I'm doing anything for the holidays. Trust me. Will I be depressed? Yeah, but guess what? I'm kind of depressed. I kind of fight a lot of this shit a lot. So I'm kind of like, you know, I have family in Connecticut. I would love to go, but honestly, driving by myself into that traffic, like, it's really overwhelming for me. And that's something I had to shift this past year, was taking on long driving trips by myself stresses me out so much, but I would try to overpower and just go through it. And I can't. It really does affect my emotional state. So I would love to be around people this holiday. I'm not sure if I will be, but happy holidays. And for those of you who want a peek into their 2009, get a tarot reading. I give tarot readings still, and I give non-dual Kabbalistic healings. But if any of you, and it would be a great gift too. So they're $100. And if you would like to peek into your 2019. I normally do not read too much into the future for everyone's sake, but I will do a little sneak peek into your year if you would like me to. So I'll give you all the visions I get, which can be pretty intense. So, but anyone who would like a tarot reading for 2019, you can give it as a gift. Let me know. kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And my next note, I kind of already said this, but I just said it's tough times for sensitive people, but also a beautiful healing time as we come through it. Because as we enter reality, reality does not match our fantasies. And I was saying this to my friend Jess. We went to the New York Comedy Club holiday party, and these events I always go to almost never match my fantasy. And the party was fucking amazing. It was fun. But like, I always think it's going to be like in my head, Rihanna's going to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I always take it to this level. It's interesting, you know? And I think that those are still visions. Like, I'm sure maybe one day I will be friends with Rihanna or whoever, but like, I'm really slowing down. And part of what I'm going through is putting me on my ass, but in a good way. Like, this is reality. Be right here. But a lot of us want to escape the present moment because of trauma. So as I heal these deep things coming up, it allows me to be more in reality and softer. I still have a lot of defenses that I'm trying to heal due to some severe wounds and trauma. So the more I heal them, the softer I can be. Because I'm actually a real soft, delicate flower. Like, I'm a mush. And yet, I'm also really strong. I'll always be that girl. But I don't mean to hurt people. You know what I mean? And sometimes, I guess it'll just happen, like fighting my son's school. I don't even mean to hurt anyone there. But I'm very passionate. When I see my child or other children really suffering and feeling powerless to saying it, because they don't want to be bullied for being vulnerable and honest with what they're going through, I come in like fire. You know, that's where, you know, fortunately, such unfortunately, you're going to see most of the dragon is fighting. Yes, the whole climate change thing, you're going to see, you know, oh, and animal rights. You know, I need to remind everyone, or maybe people don't realize this. Before any of this, when I was still an art teacher in Maryland, I used to organize animal rights protests, and I stopped talking about it because I think I'm probably on some government list because of it. They put every animal rights protester on a list because some do take it very, very far. You're never going to really hear me complaining because I hate animal testing. I hate fucking these factory farms and these slaughterhouses. So look, I really stopped talking about my passion for animal rights because it can turn a room real quick, you know, because so many people eat meat and are so defended around it. I have learned, I've been a vegetarian since I was, I think, 21, 22. I'm 37 now. I have been not eating meat for a very long time. And I've gone through vegan phases. I call myself vegan-ish. When I'm like, you can't be vegan-ish. Oh, you can be. I try to eat vegan a lot, but sometimes I do eat cheese, and I've learned to try my best to not beat myself up over it or to include the place that feels bad. I would love to be mostly vegan. Sometimes my life doesn't lend itself to that. And that pisses off some vegans. So I've really tried to do my own thing because I saw how turned off a lot of people got. I've said this story before, but I was in New York City one time for an anti-fur protest. And there's this woman, I don't know if I'm allowed to shout her out, but she's incredible. Her name is, I feel like I'm going to fuck up her name, actually. Her name's Adita. I won't give her last name because I didn't get permission. But she runs a lot of protests for the awful horse carriages that are in New York City that I'm super, super against. And she did a lot of anti-fur protests. She's incredible. So I think she may have been running this protest and I went, but there was this guy there, and I don't quote unquote dislike him, but I did not agree with this method. You know, a woman would walk by wearing a fur coat and he'd yell, "Fuck you, fur whore." And I was like, so offended. I was like, this was my joke around it. I was like, oh, you don't love animals, you hate women. I think it's actually both. I think he loves animals and hates women and maybe just people. And look, I understand. We all have a place within us that hates people. If we get cut off by someone, we flip them the bird. Like, I get being turned off by certain behaviors. But if you really want to help affect change with animal rights, you can't yell at people like that. That makes them hate you. And that's going to bring me to, I totally love Jennifer Lopez, and I love that she's like really, she's like making a reentrance in a whole new way. She has a new movie out. Haven't seen it yet, but I always love her music. She's really someone who I look up to and have since I was, I guess, young, whenever she came out, and In Living Color. I was a big fan of In Living Color, obviously. And I think that's where I first fell in love with Jim Carrey, actually. I'm not as big of a fan lately. I'm not a fan. I feel like, you know, I would love for him to bring out another movie in like the Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber world. Like, you know, those are the movies. Oh, The Mask, like masterpiece. But oh yeah, in terms of J-Lo, she is someone that PETA has always hated because she wears fur, and they've tried to explain to her how awful the fur trade is. And I think she just gets really defended about it. That's the one thing about J-Lo I don't fuck with, because I am very against fur. There are so many fake furs out there that are good. I really don't. Look, if you really need your fur, go to a vintage store, buy a used fur. Yes, you still may get yelled at, but you'll know where you got it. You know, I'm not saying burn fur that already exists. You know, the Native Americans back in the day did use all of the animal when they killed animals. But I need everyone to know the fur trade is horrific and disgusting. And same with factory farming. You can still make the choice to do it. You're not going to hear me coming and yelling at you. I got my own shit to worry about. I got my own depression, you know what I mean, to heal. You know, I'm just saying I have kind of stuffed down a lot of this stuff because it can make people feel isolated or targeted. And that's not my point at all. We are all connected. There are so many animals suffering in conditions that are beyond disgusting. And I'm not 100% against the dairy industry. Like I said, sometimes I do eat cheese and milk and ice cream and stuff. However, I think we need to really start paying attention to where we buy those products from. There are so many. When I visit my family in Connecticut, they have these incredible local farms all around them that sell great vegetables and dairy. And I'm not saying the animals are, I didn't, you know, fully investigate. The animals looked okay. I would love to see us getting dairy from animals that are for real having a good, happy, healthy life. And maybe eventually getting totally off dairy. I don't think humans need it as much as the dairy. I know, I'll say I know, but I'm not trying to start a fight with the dairy companies. And like I said, sometimes I do eat dairy. And sometimes my body feels like it needs cheese. It craves it. When I was pregnant, I was vegan almost the entire time. There were two times I quote unquote broke for cheese. And I beat myself up. I was crying, apologizing to the cows. Like, I used to be really dramatic about it. And now I just, if my body really needs it, I go for it. And there is a woman, her name's Alexandra Jameson. She used to be a very strict vegan and then shifted into really listening to what her body calls out for. And a lot of the vegan community went after her. I obviously did not. I think it's kind of badass that she allowed herself to shift. I personally do not eat meat. I have had fish a couple times this year when my body absolutely feels like it needs it. And I felt awful about it. I like prayed to the fish world, you know, but I really liked that what she was doing, because a lot of this healing work is feeling into your body and knowing what you crave, even if all the guilt comes up and everything. So that's basically what I wanted to say about it. It's a very complicated issue. I have learned as a vegetarian to not yell at people who are eating meat, and any judgment that comes up on my end, I include and I watch and I take it as mine. But at the same time, you know, it is important to know that we're connected and to realize, you know, sometimes when you're, it's all energy. So when you're eating the meat of an animal that was abused, you're taking in those energetic toxins, you know, thoughts and things like that are real. So, you know, it's going to be important in healing to become more conscious about what you're eating. Even if you still do it, you just watch and you go, okay, this is where I'm at. And I posted an article on my Kate Wolf Facebook fan page that I forget the exact number, but there have been billions less animals killed in the last, I think it was like 7 or 8 years, or maybe even more, because vegetarianism is becoming more accepted, which is beautiful because we all really have the right to choose our diets. And like I said, even if you still decide to eat meat, if you can, if you have the option and the money, some people don't, to get it from places where the animals were at least slaughtered ethically, I still don't like it, but it's definitely a huge step above, you know? So, okay. Kanye West went on another tweet rant. You know, people were comparing Kanye's battle with mental illness, if we even call it that, because sometimes we call it mental illness and it's not. Sometimes it's just a real sensitivity and artistry. But they were comparing his to Pete's, and I don't see that. Pete right now is going through an intense breakup still, where he was in the public eye and getting blamed for Mac Miller's suicide, which is insane and ridiculous. Kanye is going through a whole other thing. It's not to like shit on it. I just don't think it's comparable. I also do not feel Kanye and Kim are twin flames. I think I've said that. I think his might be Amber Rose, actually, but I'm not 100% about that. But I still love when she did that tweet when he was coming at her with some bullshit and she was like finger in the booty ass bitch. Man, I loved, I fell in love with Amber Rose then. Like, I was like, that was a fucking baller tweet. Finger in the booty ass bitch. And I think he got all embarrassed about it. And it's like, yo, if you want a finger in your butt, fucking own that shit, you know? But there's something about their energy and the way she called him out that I'm like, yo, I don't know. I just don't get, when I see him and Kim together, I see friends, but I don't feel that fire. That's just me personally. And these things are never to hurt the people. Of course, I'm sure if Kim and Kanye heard that, they wouldn't like it. They're married. I'm just saying I don't buy the fire. And also, and I'm trying to say this too, like when I talk about Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel not being twin flames, once again, it's not to shit on anyone. Jessica Biel's cool. You know, I kind of think her twin flames Twitch, Ellen DeGeneres' DJ. They did this dirty dancing move and I felt fire in it. I was like, oh, that was kind of sexy. But it's not to shit on anyone, because if you're not with your twin flame, it doesn't help you. Like it's not helping Jessica Biel either to be with him. Like, just because she might be still a little starstruck, it's not, she wants her person. And, you know, Justin and Brittany, man, like, let's just, if they do ever get back together and get married, I better be twerking at that wedding. I swear to God. Okay. So Cardi B broke up with Offset, which I talked about last week, but like during one of her concerts, he came on and interrupted and was like, take me back. He had like these flowers and shit and said, take me back, Cardi. She did not look happy. And it's like, look, I'm glad that he's trying to open up to this sensitivity, but like, it wasn't good timing and she was not appreciating it. Like, you don't do it in the middle of her performance, because you could see she was just totally knocked off her game. Like, she didn't want to be mean to him. I'm sure she like appreciates the gesture, but it's like there's a time and a place. And if your heart's really opening and you really want her to take you back, like, you know, it can't just be one huge gesture. I think it has to be this thing, this like, I'm here, I'm really here, you know? And sometimes when you do it in that public thing, it's like, is this real? Is this, you know, so I'm not dissing on the gesture, but you could see it's an awkward video to watch. She's like, puts her microphone down. He's still talking. He's like, take me back. It's like all these people. I'm like, oh my God, that's intense. But Cardi handled it like a boss. She's a queen. Okay. Oh my God. This is such a bitchy thing I wrote, but I'll say it. You know, when I'm very sensitive, and I know a lot of you are too. So like, I'll be around a couple and you can tell when like the woman kind of hates the guy. Like, I was even at, I think it was like TJ Maxx a couple weeks ago. And there was this couple that was just like bickering, but they were trying to hide it. But you could feel the hate between them. And the guy kept trying to look at me to make eye contact as if like, yeah, can you believe this? And I almost decked him in the face. Like, no, honey, I'm with her. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, some of y'all hating your husbands or your wives, and I'm with some of you. Like, sometimes some of you were dating a dude or a woman who's like racist or like, and I'm just like, and they try to like say it to me as if I'm going to gang up on the other spouse. And I'm just like, we have to all raise our standards. And I know some of you are in marriages or relationships that like are not doing it for you. You have every right to leave, even if you have kids or, you know, whatever you have. Because some of you might work together or even work in a in an environment where you don't work so close, but it's like, how do I explain this? Like, it's, sometimes we have so many things tied up with the other person. We're like, oh, there's no way I can leave, or there's so much guilt. And it's so funny how we still have this like 50s mentality in a sense of like looking at divorce and things like that. And it's like, you have every right to follow your passion. And I give healing. So for anyone who feels stuck in something and wants out, but you're really struggling with the things coming up, contact me. I do non-dual Kabbalistic healings and tarot readings. So it's kwolf, once again, 2f27@gmail.com. But like, once again, it's time for us to raise our standards and to also have incredible sex. But I mean the in love kind. Oh my God. And the whole Twilight saga is on Amazon Prime, everyone. So you get Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, first and second season, and the Twilight saga. Like, Amazon Prime, you're fucking killing it. You know, like, that's, man, I've been rewatching the Twilight saga and I'm getting flashes. You know, the Twilight saga really got me through my divorce, because as my quote unquote dreams or something shattered, which ended up not really being, because all this new light could come in. I didn't even know I was supposed to be a comedian or a healer at that point. But at the time when I was going through that shattering, I really went to Twilight and everyone was like, oh, you're obsessed, you're this. And it's like, I love getting to rewatch it from this place, being like, no, this is beautiful. This is a love story that like so many people make fun of. And yet it's what so many of our, most of our souls yearn for, but we call it corny and this. And there's a reason why it makes so much money and why so many people love it. Women love this stuff. It's because it's speaking to a certain truth that we've been made to feel ashamed of for wanting. So I just love watching it. Oh my God. Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson, first of all, they're twin flames, obviously, but they're just like, oh, they're so hot. Like, I just love like watching them interact. And oh my God, I get such bad transference in her scenes with Jacob, like when he's like trying to kiss her. And like, and I don't dislike Taylor Lautner. I think obviously in the movie, his twin flames Renesmee, they're talking about possibly doing another Twilight movie. I'm 100% down. I would love to see Renesmee, who's now 18, which is remarkable, be with Jacob, which is going to be crazy to watch that, because, you know, we watched her from young to grow up, and then watching her like now be with Jacob as 18, which is kind of like Dakota Johnson in 50 Shades. Like, we watched her as a young kid grow up. So I think seeing her in those movies, since we kind of saw her as a kid, is like, whoa, it adds to the like, holy shit. Cause that's, I think that's part of the stigma in our society, right? It's like, sexuality is treated so weirdly that we like push it under the table. Obviously, never fucking touch a kid. Like, we had, I think it's appropriate to wait till Renesmee's character is 18 to continue that saga. But like, I'm down for it. And it, look, guys, if you want to call Kate Wolf to be one of the vampires, I'm in. Okay, let's get some more. I mean, I think they're already funny, but we can get some more comedy in there. Rob Pattinson was joking on Ellen about combining it with like an alien invasion and Avengers. Dude, let's do the damn thing. Can you imagine a Twilight fucking weird alien invasion where like Bella Edward and the Cullens fight it, and then they call on like, I'm just saying, like maybe Kate Wolf, the dragon sorceress, like no big deal. Like, I'll fucking be in a Twilight movie. Can you imagine, first of all? Okay, I'm done. But like, I'm completely down for them slightly turning the storyline and making it like otherworldly things come and they become these superheroes helping to protect the world. We get the Volturi in there. The Volturi, for those of you who don't know, they're like the Illuminati of vampires. Okay. They tried to fight the Cullens, but the Cullens ain't having it. But now we can all have them come in and help fight. I mean, I'm totally down for a new Twilight movie, and I'm going to need, you know, the sex scenes need to get a little steamier. 50 Shades of Grey, they took it to a whole other level. You know, I'm not saying you have to take it totally there, but I'm not against it. You know what I mean? Like, we need to see Edward Cullen and Bella Cullen just go into town, you know? And look, I'm saying, if you get me in there, I'm not against showing some titty. okay, or boob for any who's listening. So titties for the older people and boobs for, you know, my younger than 18 listeners. I'm sure some people, oh, I can't believe she's talking to the kids like that. Kids know the word boobs. I'm raising a 12-year-old. They know the words, everyone. Let's stop playing. And I used to be an art teacher for middle school kids, and I used to walk around. First of all, those kids would draw all the time penises on their folders, and then they would turn them into like flowers and faces. You know what I mean? They know. Everyone can calm down. Okay. What else do I have? Oh, I also wrote about the Phoenix Rising. When I say Phoenix Rising, I also, and this shifted for me, it's not like rising in this big like fire tornado. It's like this slow, beautiful burn. It's like this candle. It's like, the Phoenix Rising can be a steady burn. It doesn't have to be this like, oh, I'm a Phoenix and I'm rising. You know, it's like coming through these dark times together. It's us rising as a community to fight these things that have made us feel suicidal a lot, and we felt too ashamed to really talk about the pain that we're going through. So to me, Phoenix Rising is that thing of like, I'm going to get through this. Like, I'm worthy of being here on earth, and I deserve to be here, you know, and knowing that your dreams really can come true. Swear to God. And if people don't believe you, that's fine, because Kate Wolf's about it. So you can call her, get a healing, and she'll remind you that your dreams can come true. No one can bury them, because I'll have your back. And this shit's real. We just live in a society where a lot of people have given up on and their dreams and suppressed their emotions. We're changing. The new earth is being created. It's time to express and to really love. And love means loving yourself first and being real and authentic. And like I said, this healing path isn't about being fake nice. That helps no one, including yourself, mostly yourself. So you're allowed your darker emotions. And I love how we call them darker, but it's just like anger, jealousy. A lot of us are angry. A lot of us are dealing with wounds still. A lot of us haven't even expressed our anger towards our parents or grandparents or friends or whatever. So we're figuring this shit out, you know? And it's okay if you stumble sometimes. Sometimes you explode. Sometimes you ice people out. Sometimes, you know, I said last time, I did a lot of apologizing. Not everyone has accepted it. Some have. But one of my deepest apologies was to a friend where I acted dissociated and acted like I didn't care as much. And I do, you know, so we can come through this, but we have to look at our places that we might not like. Okay. There was a Trump meeting about the wall. We had, I think, Senator Schumer was there, Mike Pence. We had Nancy Pelosi, who I love. Yeah, Trump, the way he just was talking, it was like a temper tantrum. There was this funny meme I posted on my wall where they put Trump's head on a baby's body and talking the way he was talking. He's just petulant in a sense. Like, it just, and we don't need a wall. We can enforce border security. That's what Pelosi was saying. And he was threatening to shut down the government if he doesn't get his wall. That's where the tantrum came in. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? And you know what? Trump's lawyer who had been defending him, he's like going to jail for lying about documents and shit or something. I didn't do the full thing. You can come after me if I butchered that. But like, you know, Trump better fucking watch his back, because people are for real. He's done some illegal shit, including being a sexual predator. That stuff catches up to you, you know? So it's like, he's saying that if we try to impeach him, people will riot. That may or may not be true. I'm not sure. I'm not for anyone rioting. We have to come through this together. So in a way, we can't just completely overthrow a president if so many people would riot. But we need to start really fixing this shit, because a 7-year-old died at the fucking border wall. So a family was trying to cross, got detained. They separated the 7-year-old from her father. The 7-year-old died from dehydration and shock, because once again, I bet you they were not paying attention to these children's emotional states. Clearly not, to be separating them from their families. Disgusting. People like to say, oh, it was her father's fault for trying to escape. No, it was not her father's fault. There are some people living in horrific conditions in other countries that we cannot imagine being lucky U.S. citizens, okay? What are you going to say? You know how many Jews escaped Germany, Nazi Germany? Okay? You open your doors to people who need it. That's how, I mean, look, I'm not saying you personally open your door to a homeless person outside, but we are connected. We need to start helping people. So yes, you could have detained and kept the families together. Okay. That's what we do. You keep the families together. So don't, you can give me your argument, whatever. We want to tighten immigration control, whatever you feel you need to do, but you do not blame that grieving father for his seven-year-old dying. That's on U.S. government's hands. Let's all get that clear. And it's disgusting and it's heartbreaking and it needs to fucking stop. So Trump, with this fucking border wall shit, you are close to impeachment because this man has done a lot of illegal, unkind shit his whole life and karma's real. But here's the issue. If we impeach him, who's stepping in? Pence? As if he's any better? So like, then what? Then we have Pence and we need to impeach him? I mean, fine. But like, I'm ready for the next election. And I really hope Michelle Obama changes her mind and runs. You know, Bernie's talking about running, Hillary's talking about running, whatever, whatever. I want Michelle Obama. I think that's the right energy to have in there. And I really, really hope she changes her mind because we need her, I think. There's a certain energy. You can have beliefs. Your beliefs can be democratic or liberal. It's there's quality. Quality is a real thing. Same with like insensitive jokes and tweets. You can feel the quality behind things. So it's hard to say, oh, this one statement is a racist statement. It depends on what mouth it's coming out of. Do you get what I'm saying? Michelle Obama has a certain kindness, a realness, a liveliness to her that I think this country needs, just like we needed her husband, Barack. And I think them together back in the office, oh my God, what a dream team. And they have showed so much class in all of this. They clearly dislike Trump, but like they have, when they're around him, they're class acts. And he treats his wife remarkably. I like the way she treats him. I love her book that just came out. She's stellar. So that's who I hope decides to run because I think she'd knock it out of the park. That's funny. I think she'd knock it out of the park. And can you imagine having our first female African-American president be Michelle Obama? Like, oh my God, she's amazing. I love her policies. Her outfits are fucking perfect. Like she's fashionable, but in a really graceful way. Give me a break. She's the perfect candidate. So please, Michelle Obama, not that you listen, but if somehow you do, if somehow someone knows her, you got to convince her, man. Let's play her this clip for crying out loud. We need you, Michelle. We love you. Phoenix Rising, help take us through this dark time. She's a fucking phoenix. You know what I mean? Give me a break. Okay. Oh, let's talk about Santoya Brown. This is a woman who at 16, maybe even younger, she was a sex trafficking victim and like her boyfriend sold her off. What the fuck? I mean, boyfriend, what the fuck is happening? But like he sold her off to this like 40 something year old who was like making her a sex slave. I don't know if he had sex with her yet or not, but she killed him. And you know what? Of course, if someone's trying to make you a sex trafficking slave, you can kill them. I mean, I know that's not the government with the government. Get your fucking shit together. There's a petition I signed. Look it up. It's on moveon.org. It's to free Santoya Brown. Please sign it. It makes zero sense that this woman should be serving a sentence. It's disgusting. So please help free her. Yes, maybe she'll have to. Of course, she'll have to have some rehabilitation. Give her tons of free therapy. She's been through a lot. You know, if we want to look over her to make sure she's doing all right, then yes, we should always take care of people, but she should not be serving time in prison. She killed a man trying to imprison her. Give me a fucking break. 100% self-defense. So whoever that judge is can fucking suck a bajillion dicks. You know what I mean? Like, give me, not happy. But you know what? Hypocrisy is burning. This kind of shit of treating this woman, she's a victim. So this stuff ain't going down anymore because we're speaking up. So that's what's so beautiful. Even though all this stuff is coming up, we are fighting it. And petitions really do work and internet presence works. It allows us to connect. It allows us to spread messages. So things like Santoya Brown and this horrific thing like the seven-year-old dying at the border and families being separated, like because of the internet, we're able to come together and share this. And we need to keep speaking up because this kind of hypocrisy, it's time for it to end. And same with like the whole Paris riots. Yes, it's great. We want to fight climate change, but you have to take in consideration people's livelihoods. So I'm glad that things are shifting. And yes, I'm quote unquote liberal, but I'm actually, what makes me so liberal is I try to actually see both sides. Even in terms of animal rights, when I'm near a meat eater, I have learned very much to quote unquote shut my mouth. So someone could be eating meat next to me. I'm not fucking, you know, protesting them. I understand the complications and how confusing and gray all this stuff is, but these animals do not deserve that kind of suffering. Like that's a basic morality. And there are some basic truths, you know, and for me, the way we've been treating animals, it's not okay. And a lot of people treat pets, like I don't like pets that are left in cages. You know, I get that you don't want dogs eating up your couch and stuff like that, but there needs to be newer solutions because you have to put yourself in their shoes, even though dogs don't really wear cute little shoes. But seriously, like we are all connected. We have to care. And that doesn't mean everyone becomes vegetarian. I get that. But there's a way to shift to a more compassionate place, and compassionate consumerism is a real thing. Want to talk about homework real quick? Homework sucks. Okay. Not every single kind of homework. I sometimes give spiritual homework to some of my clients, which could be like meditating or taking certain notes about, you know, if you notice your soul saying something, you know, over and over, writing it down. So there are certain kinds of homework that's great, especially when you're an adult and you have more choice in what you want to enter. But in public schools for young children, they're sitting at a desk for 6.5 hours a day, which I already am so against. I want more active learning. I want more movement. I want kids to be happy to go to school, to be more engaged. It shouldn't feel like punishment. It shouldn't feel like a prison. So I want that to shift. But then also, yeah, you can give some quote unquote homework of like, you know, maybe go through a magazine and collect beautiful images to bring in for your collage and things like that. But kids should be able to go home and to feel free and discover what they want to do on their free time. Even if it's playing Xbox or whatever, give them some more choice. So I just needed to say that because a lot of people are still into homework and it's like Snoreville Nation Station. I've had two people buy tickets to Miss Wolf's art class and I'm very stoked. It's definitely happening, even if it's only you two, which I'm sure it won't be, but we're doing this. I'm very excited. Like I said, I will supply the art materials. We're going to be focusing on painting and drawing. You get to be in my house. It's a 5-hour workshop, January 12th from 10 to 3 with an hour lunch built in. There are a lot of places around me to eat. And I'm very excited because we're going to be exploring the inner workings of your soul and what wants to truly come out and be expressed through painting and drawing. And maybe future ones, I'll go to other media or mediums. But also if you want to do this, but you feel like you're an expert in painting and drawing, but would love to explore it in other media, contact me. I taught everything as an art teacher. Ceramics, unfortunately, I don't have a kiln yet, but you know, I would love to eventually open it up and have like a whole for real art studio in my place. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. I have the post on my Instagram and my Kate Wolf fan page. So the link's there. But you can also email me for all this information. Once again, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. But I would love to see you at Miss Wolf's art class. I also have the show Comedy Seance with incredible badass goddesses, Allison Charles and Jess Grippo. That is January 6th at 6 p.m. at New York Comedy Club's new 4th Street location in the East Village. You can get tickets online at newyorkcomedyclub.com. Please use promo Seance for $10 tickets. They're discounted, but it's a spiritual comedy variety show. It's incredible. We've got Matt Richards, Lil Young Big, Amina Imani. It's going to be an incredible show. So for those of you who love comedy and love this kind of, you know, spiritual artsy world, you'll be into it. And it's 6 o'clock, so it's not too late for those of you who need to get babysitters. So we all hope to see you there at that one. And once again, this podcast is sponsored by Laugh Pass. So for those of you who love going to comedy shows in the city or love even visiting the city, it's a great deal. And like I said, it comes with a lot of benefits. So including a free drink upon arrival. That's pretty cool. And like I said, that bottle of wine. And you'll get alerts when big name comics and celebrities drop in. So if you use coupon Invasion, it goes from $159 to $139. That's great. And please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at TheKateWolf. Visit my website, thekatewolf.com. If you want a healing, non-dual Kabbalistic healing, tarot reading, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. And some of you write me beautiful messages. Like I said, if it's too long, I can't respond to everything, but also feel free to email me with any issues, topics you want me to cover. I can't guarantee I'll get to it, but I do try. So thanks to all of the love I get and the support and those of you who follow me on social media. It really means a lot. And for those of you who've been following this journey for over 4 years, man, thank you. And I'm sure you can tell how much I've shifted and changed, and I will continue to do so. And I look forward to all of you following my journey as you follow your own. Thank you so much. This is Invasion of Privacy with Kate Wolf. Bye.